Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. Hey, if you've been listening to the show very long, you know that I'm into nutrition, fitness. I love those things. So I'm pumped to be able to partner with Titan Nutrition. I'm a big supporter of Titan Nutrition. I use a lot of their products. Titan Nutrition is one of the most trusted and respected supplement brands in the industry. You can go to supplement stores all across the country and find their products. They have a wide variety of supplements such as protein and vitamins, pre-workouts, superfoods. I use almost all of those personally. They're backed by CGMP, which is Greater Manufacturing Practices. They use FDA monitor facilities and third-party testing, super important. So personally, when I'm taking these products, I want to make sure that they work well, they're tested, and I can trust them for my entire family. Now, you can go to their website at titannutrition.net, check out some of the amazing protein flavors like cinnamon roll, cherry bomb berry, strawberry sorbet. They have a wide variety of others. I'm a huge fan of all their chocolate flavors. And then the cinnamon roll is phenomenal. So use the discount code. This is my discount code for you guys listening to the podcast. It is Coach P, and you'll get yourself a 10% discount and free shipping, which that's huge, right? So you can also click on the link in the show notes. Again, that's titannutrition.net with the discount code Coach P. All right, promise you guys won't be disappointed. Go and check out Titan Nutrition. All right, hey, welcome to another episode of the Perspective Podcast with Coach P. I'm pumped. Today we have on Zane Richards. I'll tell you a little bit about him before he tells you about his background. But Zane is one of the best wrestlers in the United States right now, one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. So he is our USA Wrestling World Team member, which means he's number one on our Olympic ladder right now, number one on our world ladder. I'm excited to get in and talk about that a little bit. Zane's a couple-time Division I All-American for Illinois. He's a resident at the Illinois RTC, and for the non-wrestling people, that is a regional training center. That's where he trains at to compete, and he is a Christ follower, so we'll talk about his faith later on. Zane, man, thanks for being on.
Thank you for having this platform and giving me the opportunity to talk about wrestling and God.
Yeah, you bet. So, well, let's do this. For the listeners, talk about, you know, your background a little bit. Where'd you grow up at? How'd you get into wrestling? And maybe you did some other sports too. We have multiple coaches and athletes that listen to this, but
yeah. So I grew up in Carbondale, Illinois. So that's the southern part of the state. It's about 2 hours east of St. Louis and 3 hours south of Champaign. So kind of in the middle of nowhere. There was a college in the area, and how I got into wrestling was my dad found the local high school. We had a really knowledgeable coach Dennis Reagan. He's actually the father of Allie Reagan, who is another phenom wrestler out of that school. And we've had a lot of talent come out of there. And my whole career is based really on just their nurturing support from the beginning. I did a lot of camps and personal instruction over in the St. Louis area with Perler Wrestling Academy, Pat McNamara out of Edwardsville. So a lot of that. I traveled up north a lot growing up, all throughout the state. And I would say I'm a product just of the Illinois system, but specifically coming out of Southern Illinois. And growing up, you know, like you mentioned, I did a lot of different sports, mostly baseball and soccer. But I was pretty active outside of that with my friends. We would play a lot of pickup wiffle ball games or soccer games or anything to kind of get us outside a little bit. Not to say I didn't have my fair share of just hanging out indoors playing video games too. But for the most part, was a pretty active kid, and and that led myself to the University of Illinois, and you know, that career led me on to the senior level, which is kind of where I'm at today.
Yeah, so both my boys, I got four kiddos, but both my boys are soccer players. I grew up in Oklahoma, and small town Oklahoma. Dad was a football and wrestling coach, and football was key. I knew nothing about soccer till a couple years ago, and we live up in Kansas now. But anyway, soccer is big here. My boys absolutely love it, and watching soccer players, and I've had multiple wrestlers on my high school team come through the soccer players. I think it's a pretty good base, man. I don't know if it's just the something about it. I feel like everyone that played soccer has like a footwork advantage, and it just seems like an overall athletic ability.
Yeah, I think soccer gets a bad rap in America, kind of because internationally we're behind in it. And culturally, we like bigger, faster, stronger for smaller spurts in sports typically, other than, I mean, I guess basketball is kind of a long-term affair. But soccer, I loved soccer. I really enjoyed it. I mean, baseball was really the one I was like, oh, this place is great. But I also understood, like, I'm probably not going to be an MLB superstar. So I hedged my bets towards wrestling a little bit as a kid. But I love soccer. I think for a base, you're right on. I think the footwork, the hand-eye coordination is very similar. It's just you're using your feet. And a lot of times we underestimate, especially in wrestling, how important being able to control the lower parts of your body are. And then just making very athletic but unorthodox movements, like kicking a ball and finer movements with your feet and then exploding off or driving into a ball and launching it downfield are a big part of the sport. And that's a big part of wrestling. So I do think soccer gives a great balance. It's also good just cardio training in general. So for an off-season sport, I recommend soccer. I think too, soccer, because it's a long-term game, the more you're in it, you have to naturally understand positioning on the field and X's and O's of making good decisions percentage-wise as far as positioning or just being in the right place at the right time, which on a soccer field looks different in a wrestling match, but it's kind of the same mindset, right? I just want to hold position in a wrestling match until I get a good opportunity. Kind of the same thing in soccer. I want to keep possession of the ball until there's a good opportunity or they overextend their defense, and then you can kind of strike at them. So yeah, I'm on the soccer train, of course. You know, I kind of say it quietly whenever everyone's dogging on soccer. I don't want to be too, sticking my neck out for it too much.
Yeah. So yeah, I grew up a football guy and loved the sport of football, but have gained a lot of respect for soccer and, you know, all the athletes are playing it. Now let's, you know, college. So, did you know growing up, like, hey, I think I want to go wrestle for Illinois, and maybe talk a little bit about your college career?
Yeah. Well, growing up, I wanted to wrestle at any D1 college. I just thought any opportunity, even if I just get a chance to wrestle at a D1 college, you know, that was like the dream, right? At the time. And obviously I had dreams of being I had dreams of being a world and Olympic champion beyond that too, as a kid. But the first steps were being on a college D1 team, being a starter, just having that opportunity I thought was the coolest thing in the world. Eli and I were close. I was kind of an Iowa fan growing up. I hate saying that out loud now, but, because I've been at Illinois for so long. And they're a good wrestling team. I'm not trying to dog on them. My heroes, a lot of them were baseball players or whatever, but then I also had heroes in the wrestling community. You know, Jimmy Kennedy and Mike Poeta were some of them growing up, just because they were big names at the U of I program. But then there were all sorts of wrestlers I thought were great growing up watching, like, you know, Franklin Gomez, or a lot of the Iowa guys. I thought Jay Borshel was kind of cool, even though he was the kind of guy who was really kind of a slower, methodical pace, and people thought they were boring. I like the art of the craft of kind of how they approached it, where it's just, you know, they're making the most of what they got type of wrestlers. So that was really cool. And whenever I got my opportunity, you know, I got recruited by a couple different schools, but ultimately it came down to Illinois. I thought the training environment for me personally was optimum to reach my my apex, the best version of myself. I don't think that happened necessarily in college. I got close to my apex. I think there were moments where I was at my best, but I was not consistent at always performing at my best in college. But I stuck with Illinois after that, my senior career. And now I'm starting to get more consistency out of my ultimate, wrestling ability. And I do give that more to my faith and getting deeper into my faith. And I believe that's probably one of the big reasons why I'm actually getting more out of myself. But as far as, wrestling for Illinois goes, it wasn't always a dream just to be at Illinois, but at the time it made sense for me personally to make that decision in my head. So I definitely don't regret it or anything like that.
Yeah. And I like that you talked about having those wrestling heroes. That's something I often talk to my high school wrestling team about. I'm a head wrestling coach at our high school for our girls and our boys. And so a lot of times we come in and we're talking and I'll ask them, hey, who are some of your heroes? Of course, I grew up in Oklahoma. So I'll say, hey, who's John Smith? And some of the kids, and I'll go through, they wouldn't know who Mark Branch is. Some of the Oklahoma State guys. But as we get a little bit closer to today, I could ask them who's Jordan Burroughs and more kids will know who Jordan is. And but a lot of the kids, it's amazing, hey, who's LeBron James? And everybody can tell you, right?
Right.
And these are wrestlers. And so unless they're just hardcore, they may not know. So then we have them go out and kind of research ladies like, hey, who are some of your favorite wrestlers? And now the girls wrestling is getting bigger and bigger. There's a lot of people out there for our girls to look up to, so as we go through and hey, does anybody know who Helen is? And so they'll be like, wait a minute, who? And so, all right, here's some research. But so I'm glad you brought that up because as an athlete, you want to know the heroes of your sport. You want to know the history of your sport.
100%.
Look up to. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and you're putting yourself on the map to be one of those, which is absolutely amazing. But
yeah, hopefully. I mean, you want to be that light or the salt of the earth so then people can kind of be guided. But yeah, no, and I liked a lot of Illinois guys even when they didn't go to Illinois. I always cheered for guys like Dan Dennis or whatever because he was at Iowa, but it was, he was from Illinois. So that I just thought that was cool. And I'm with you, Coach, where it's, not just the number one stars, but yeah, pick a random guy on a random team that just you like the way they wrestle or the style they wrestle and follow their career. Because I think too, if kids have that, they can aspire to be that, but then they can also emulate their style a little bit and they have a little more sense of direction in the room. And not only that, but then the ultimate that you of course as a coach would want it is, well, take what that guy's doing or girl and then improve on it, right? So maybe it's like, oh, this guy's really good at this, but he kind of lacks in these areas. Well, maybe you can kind of emulate that, but then you're the next version, you're the 2.0 whenever you get to that college or senior level, hopefully.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great point. So for you, did you know, like when you got in, and you said when you were younger, you had aspirations of wrestling at the world level. At what point in college did you know, like, hey, I think I can do this and I want to continue on with my career after college?
Yeah. That went into my college decision, right? It was, where do I think I can go and where do I think that they're going to be able to support me once I am done with my collegiate career? During my collegiate career, are they going to give me the best opportunity to still perform at the senior level or junior level or whatever age group you're at? But then also, are they going to follow up and are they going to be able to support me afterwards? And the people at Illinois at the time, most of them are still here, or at least in the community. Sorry, just got out of practice. I'm a little run down. But, most of them, I believed in, well, all of them, I believed them that they were going to support me, and they have at this point. Even the people who aren't in the program straight up at this point, they've given me advice or they've been in my corner ever since. And I'm really thankful for that. So, and then one of my, club coaches and high school coaches is, now working as our regional training center coach, Brian Medlin. And I owe a lot of it to him too for, sculpting me and getting me prepared for college and during college. We would always trade technique or wrestling ideas. And now that he's actually working with Illinois directly and as my coach, it's, you know, I've kind of had this mentor with me my whole wrestling career, which has been phenomenal.
Yeah. That's awesome. Having someone who's your coach, but also your mentor, like you said. So, and there's
right.
a depth that goes to that relationship. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so for you, how have you in this last couple of years just jumped levels, right? You've been a good wrestler for a long time. You've accomplished mm-hmm. a lot. You know, if we look at like the Thomas Gilman wins, you know, you mm-hmm. didn't have that success against him previously. And then now mm-hmm. we're able to make that transition. So what were some of the things or what are some of the things that you've been doing that have allowed you to jump levels?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, I got more in touch with my faith. And I believe that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're going to go to church and then God's going to give you superpowers or anything like that. Like that's not how it works, but, or at least I don't think, maybe he does. I don't, you know, like I'm not going to question him, but getting in touch with my faith certainly gave me a sense of strength that I've never had before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me a sense of peace and comfortability and strength within myself to perform at my highest level and to not be so fearful or, you know, worry so much about the things of this earth that hold us back that are man-made and created. And it allowed me to focus on, you know, things above me that are more important, right? Which is glorifying God. And so how do I do that? Well, God doesn't want me to withdraw or not use his gifts to his full potential. And so given the opportunity, whether I'm successful or not, I don't think that that's what God wants necessarily, but he wants me to glorify his name through his gifts and give the best effort with the time I've been given on earth, which with whatever it is he's willing me to do. And right now in my life, I believe that's wrestling. He wants me to stay focused in that regard and perform at my best. And when I have victory, let people know where that strength came from. Right. Yeah. And he's given me the opportunity to enjoy this wonderful thing of controlled violence, you know, that most of the time people frown upon, but we're in a spot where we can actually do this thing that's incredibly hard and violent and aggressive that men don't get a safe and positive avenue for. And it teaches a lot of life lessons and everything involved with the sport that we talk about, where it's, you know, you learn how to be disciplined and train hard. What is hard work? Staying up late and you know, being driven to one goal. That's all good in the meta of wrestling and teaching you how to be a man. But if you don't know what the purpose of having those tools are in your life is, it really does you no good, because then you're aimlessly applying it to things that at the end of the day, they're going to let you down. Mm-hmm. Where whenever you actually get in touch with your faith, whenever God, you open your heart up and let God work through you, you understand why you have this opportunity and what is important to you when you have these tools and these gifts. And so that's really, I think, the biggest difference in my life that's made a change. Now, there's things in the room that may, that technical things I think I've worked on. There's books for my mental game, not just my spiritual game, that I've read and I've worked on. There's small, very small, consistent details with my diet I think I've adjusted over the years, and I'm always working on that. And I, you know, I've had really, really good practice partners these past 2 or 3 years with Ibrahim Ilyasov and Bekbayar Erdenbat, you know, both foreign wrestlers that through God's will, I mean, just opportunistically came through our program. I don't think that that's a coincidence. I don't really believe in coincidences anymore, just because I do believe God works through us in that way, especially when you pray to him. You know, again, does he reward us straight up with power? No, but I think he does give us opportunities when we ask. And I think he gives us the strength to be ready to seize those opportunities to the best of our ability whenever they do come across us, right? And he's the one who's orchestrating it, and he introduces people into our lives that whenever we need them the most, not whenever we want them the most, it happens. So all those things, you know, that's a big convoluted answer at some point, but, you know, straight to the point, you know, the biggest change I made in my life is I let God's will influence me and dictate a lot of my actions rather than me trying to figure things out on my own.
Yeah, no, that's the whole answer. It's not convoluted. The whole answer is I love it. It's, you know, that gives you that focal point and you know where your power comes from. Right. And you also understand that these abilities and these gifts that God has given you is also giving you a platform to glorify him and to shine a light back on him as well, which is awesome. You know, you mentioned the sport being violent, and earlier you had said the art of wrestling, right? Talking about some of these guys that maybe you want to, and that's how I've always thought about it as well. Right. Or at least as an adult, maybe like in college and as an adult, but you know, when you look at MMA, look at jiu-jitsu, look at wrestling, look at these combative sports, and so, that's violent. Like, to me, it's art. Like, I see the art within it, right? No matter what's going on.
For sure.
Like you said, it's also making sure that you understand the reasons behind it. Showing somebody a double leg doesn't give them the character to be a great human being. So when they know the reasons why we train, how we train to do the things that we do, then they can apply those to the other areas of their life when they have character. And especially, you know, if they believe in God and they're doing it for those reasons. But so what are, let me say it this way, maybe give us just a peek into the life and the training, maybe some of the daily training that you go through. And you mentioned diet, right? And I have some little notes written down, you know, cause these are things I kind of nerd out with technique, but we don't have to worry about, but like eating and strength and conditioning and just lifestyle, right? Cause at the highest levels, like you guys are all really, really good. And little bitty things can make the difference. So what's, you know, a couple of days in the life of Zane Richards when it comes to training and eating and strength training and the various aspects that go into this to allow you to do what you're doing?
Yeah. So usually Monday, Tuesday, I get two sessions of a workout in, usually a wrestling workout, and then either a cardio or a strength training workout, both of which are tailored to my body and my needs for an athlete. If we have Tanner Farmer, who's also in our program, a heavyweight, his strength training and conditioning are written up different because his body needs different things. Same thing with his wrestling workout. It's not going to be the same thing. And Brian Medlin and the RTC and the other coaches, they do a really good job, you know, curtailing and tailoring the technique and the design of our program to be specifically for the individual athletes. Now, sometimes everyone gets in there and okay, we're all going to work on single legs, high crotches, whatever. But a lot of times we get into a lot of individual work because at this level, you know, you really need to specialize the things that you need to be ready for, but also things that you need to, things you need to be good at. So, you know, with that, you know, usually in the morning, we do our wrestling workout, and then afternoon is like cardio or strength training. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is maybe a very light cardio just to, you know, burn calories and get your heart rate up, but then like a recovery. So sauna, maybe ice bath or, you know, boots, things like that, the compression boots. And then Thursday, Friday is very similar. And then Saturday is usually like a mock competition type of day where you get in there, it's a short warm up, and then you're wrestling matches and really trying to simulate and focus in on, hey, like, how are you going to warm up for competition? Like, this is the day to practice it. You know, what is your mindset going to be? How are you going to cool down? What are you going to eat or drink in between matches and in a practice? You know, those things are good to simulate on like a Saturday where let's not spend a ton of time grinding it out because you just worked out for a week straight. Let's get in here. Let's get really focused and almost take a test on the week on how much you learned, and let's see how you perform. In between that, a lot of my days are spent, or time is just spent managing my life, making sure, you know, taxes are paid, the house bills are paid, you know, my dogs are fed, and also spending a lot of time at the FCA office here in Champaign, with Robbie Gwynn, the director, and, learning about God. You know, reading about the gospel, and trying to get more in touch with him. And really outside of that, it's just, you know, you got a couple hobbies here and there, but it's just rest, which is, I think, a really crucial part of training. And it's really important for kids to understand when there is a time to rest, you should rest. That being said, kids are so full of energy, especially at like that 12 to 17 range where it's like they only need an hour off and they can go and grind it out and do a crazy hard workout again. Where me, it's like, all right, let's call it for today. You know, I'm almost 30 years old and I'm hurting a little bit here, but not that, you know, I don't push through, but, and really that's it. It's rinse and repeat. It's a really simple lifestyle, but I think that's going to guide you more to wrestling and having success whenever you're not as distracted with a lot of other things going on. And as far as diet goes, you know, that's a whole nother topic. Like you said, I you know, you can get really specific and start nerding out hard on it. I think each athlete should have a balance of that, of being really refined, but also understanding life is not the easiest thing in the world. So having one candy bar at night is not the end of the world, right? Just don't have six of them, you know, like, and that's, I think, where high school kids in particular, you see the season ends and then they go on like a week or two of just eating like gluttons. It's like, man, just have one of those meals reasonable, be full, but then it's just, you're satisfied. That's it. It's all you need, you know? So yeah, I think that's the thing, is truly making it a lifestyle, and also incorporating the times where, hey, mentally I'm just like stressed out about being on top of everything. Maybe tonight I have a scoop of ice cream. You know, that's not the end of the world, right? Especially, you know, calorically, we're probably not eating enough to keep our bodies sustained. So, you know, a little treat here and there is just not the end of the world. And then really the focus on after that is just making sure everything is as clean as possible, right? You know, if you can afford organic, afford it. You know, try to get things that aren't, you know, packaged too much because of plastics and all that kind of stuff. Oh, sorry. Am I still there? Got it. So yeah, you know, just healthy eating. It's pretty obvious stuff. Try to make your meat as quality as possible. I eat a lot of steak and red meat. I do believe there's more nutritional content in it. But, you know, chicken and salmon and turkey and those things are good too. Eggs, you know, fish. You know, it's not rocket science at this point, right? Like lean meats, quality vegetables. At night, I would try to stay away from carbs for most people just because you don't need them. And water. You know, cut the sugar out, drink more water. You know, it's simple. And I'm not a fan of the gallon a day type of water people. I know everyone's like, oh, I gotta, you know, they're telling me drink a gallon. I'm like, well, that's crazy. That's 8 pounds of water. That's a lot of work to get out of your body. And some people are like, well, I just pee it out. I'm like, yeah, well, you're also a 220 pounder. I'm a 125 pounder. Like 8 pounds means a lot more. So just drink until you're not thirsty anymore. You know, I think that's the big thing, is if you're thirsty, yeah, that's a sign you're dehydrated. You shouldn't be dehydrated when you're training. When it's time to cut weight, you know, you got to take the water out, and that's when that happens. But 90% of the time, you shouldn't be thirsty, you know, so just drink water as you're thirsty.
Yeah, good. And, you know, a couple of things. One is, like you said, keeping it just simple, basic mm-hmm. as you can. And also, like, listening to the overall, like, you're controlling the controllables. Like even like this, I love the Saturdays, right? Like you said, you're kind of taking,
right.
I mean, you're doing like, hey, here's exactly what our pre-competition routine looks like. So boom, mm-hmm. it's held down. We're competing. What am I eating? What am I drinking? I mean, those are things I think people take for granted a lot of times that make a, you know, a valuable difference. Mm-hmm. So why not have those things locked in? Why not have practiced those? I'm big on like, if it's worth teaching, it's worth practicing. Right. So we need to teach these things and then put these things into practice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't do you any good to talk about it and then go home and not do any of it. Like, yeah. And there's a weird sentiment in society right now, it seems like, and it could have been there all along. It's just the fact social media is there. It seems like it's there more often, but what you think and what you say really don't mean anything. It's really what you do with your actions that actually matter, right? because we have all sorts of crazy thoughts and you don't have to act on them. And I can say I want to be a world champion, but if I'm not doing the things daily to really accomplish that goal, like I'm not actually working to be a world champion. I'm not taking wrestling seriously. So many kids go, I want to win a state title, and then they won't show up to practice. From the 5 days, they'll only make four or three of them. It's like, well, what are you doing? You know, you got to wrestle more to be a better wrestler. So just things like that, I think are important too. And so the same thing, you know, if I'm going to open my mouth and say something, it's got to be something that I think is true, something I believe in, and something that I will do or I have done, right? And that kind of falls back on the other two points of being true and being something I believe in. So I think that's kind of an important mindset thing. It does play back spiritually too. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, I do believe that mindset is something that Jesus kind of wanted us to live out a little bit more. But, you know, I also need to read more scripture to make sure that I'm not going against his word right now either.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you two things. I want to talk about books in a minute. You mentioned books a minute ago, but Do you have a favorite scripture? Do you have one that kind of guides your life, or at least guides the moment you're in right now?
Yeah. I mean, there's a verse right now that we've been using, or I've been kind of recalling. There's a couple of them that I can think of. The one that I've got memorized a little bit because it's really short and it's easy for me. There's a couple of them that's like, man, I really need to memorize this, and this. But one is like John 3:30, I believe. And it just says, he must become greater and I must be less. Yeah. And a lot of times, even in podcast moments, before I wrestle, as I'm training, when I wake up in the morning, I try to remind myself that these are his gifts and his will needs to be above mine in this moment. And that sentiment and that mindset for a lot of wrestlers, I think, seems contrary to what we're trying to accomplish here. But I know for myself, it has led to many good practices because it reminds me that I'm about to practice and God's will needs to be done right now, whatever that is. And something might happen that's outside of my control, that is God's will. But then the actions that he allows me to take, I need to be more Christ-like and more on the same plane as God. He needs to increase, and my wants and needs right now need to decrease. And if that means I'm in a practice and I'm in a tough situation where I can not hold myself accountable or hold myself accountable to the truth, well, God wants me to live an honest lifestyle and a truthful lifestyle. So I need to hold myself accountable and do the thing that I'm being told to do, whether it's by a coach or by the circumstances that I'm in. I need to execute them, right? And so I fall back a lot on, you know, it's like, man, I don't want this, but it's not about what I want right now, right? God needs to increase, his influence needs to increase, his will needs to be greater than mine in this moment. And if it's a fast prayer, like, God, just show me what I need to do in this moment and then get after it wrestling wise and get back to being focused. That one I'd say in particular has really been guiding me. Another one is at the end of, I forget the chapter and the verse name, but at the end of the Sermon on the Mount with Matthew, one of the last things he says is something on the lines of, you know, don't worry about the problems of tomorrow, for today has enough things to worry about. Again, I'm paraphrasing, probably butchering it and all that stuff, but the general, you know, sentiment of that, I think too, is really important for me because I can be super over analytical. I can be paranoid. I can start worrying about things that are really outside of my control or haven't happened yet. And just that reminder that, hey, you know, stay in the moment, worry about the things that are in front of you right now, and, you know, apply John 3:30 in it. And then that's it. You're fine. You're doing everything you can right now that God wills it. And it's okay to just then let that happen and, you know, calm down, breathe, and just enjoy life. And so much, especially in wrestling, we worry about, oh, I'm going to have to wrestle this opponent in 2 months. And he's so good at blah, blah, blah. Well, so what? Did you do the thing that mattered today to get ready for that kid? Yeah. Okay. And then we'll do it again tomorrow. And that's it. You know, I stop asking I try not to ask too far in advance what we're doing at practice or when we're in a practice, what we're doing. Cause again, it's like, I'm not worried about that right now. I'm worried about what is the drill we have to do right now? Or if I need to get a drink of water, how much water should I drink that's optimum right now? You know, stay in that pocket of just the moment of what actions can I do right now to benefit me? And then that's it. So I'd say those two come to mind in particular. Of course, there's a bunch that I'll read, you know, whatever the devotional is that day where it'll really come out and speak to me. But I fall back on those two, John 3:30, and then just the ending of the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, you know, that whole part in Matthew is just a huge, you could just take a whole year for just what Jesus said in that brief moment. And really, if you devoted your life to those teachings, I mean, you'd come out spiritually very far ahead and be ready to dominate life.
All right. This has been St. Richards, and that's it. We got to end there. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah. That was great info right there, man. Wisdom. Yeah, I love it, man. Simplifying that, putting those two together, being in the moment, mm-hmm. like you said, that's, yeah, awesome. And I think a phenomenal reminder for me right here in this moment for all of us, man. I mean, make mm-hmm. God greater, make ourselves less, you know?
Yeah.
Huge, huge. So very good. All right, going back to books. You know, you mentioned books earlier. Mm-hmm. I was not, so I'm hoping maybe some of the teenagers listening to this, some of those wrestlers out there, maybe college guys, you know, that they'll find the value in reading. I did not when I was growing up. I did not like to read, just read whatever I was assigned in school.
Yeah, I still don't like to read, by the way, but I forced myself to do it. But it's like, oh my gosh, I'm such a caveman. My brain hurts and like I'm slow. You know, I don't even get half of it, but yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, no, and I'm the same, but when I became an adult, I found the value and then I began to understand mm-hmm. like the absolute importance of reading. So what's something that you've read lately that you really like? And is there a book that's like outside the Bible that's like your favorite book?
Yeah, I mean, there's a handful of books that really sculpted me as an athlete much better. Right now, I'm currently, you know, working through, because it's not just a book. It's got actual work in the book, like worksheets. Kids are like, great, homework book. Awesome. Thanks. But there's one called The Happiness Trap. I actually have it right next to me here. It's The Happiness Trap. And it just talks a lot about how a lot of feelings and thoughts are not, they're not as important as we give them power to be. Specifically, happiness is something that people chase after, and it's something you can't really control when you are happy. You can enjoy life, right? You can have enjoyment. You can have fulfillment. You can find peace and contentment, right? And I think you find those things through Jesus. And living your life the way you value it truly. But I'm going to be happy on days and I'm not going to be happy on days. I'm going to be sad on certain days. And the book teaches you how to maintain that mindset of what matters is your actions, and do your actions and behaviors follow through on what you value in life, right? So if you value the word of Jesus Christ and his teachings, are your actions actually in line with his teachings, right? And understanding, obviously, that we fail. That's part of the deal. But when you fail, you don't listen to the voices in your head that get you down. And you just go, okay, you know, God forgives me, but I need to return back to doing things the way he anticipates or wants me to do it. Or the same thing just in general life, right? Like you're on your diet and you made a mistake on your diet. Well, you know, one, just return back to the actions of, well, if I need to make 125 or whatever the weight class is, I need to eat and do the actions accordingly. I don't want to read a bunch about how you feel about eating or whatever, how your body feels about the food or the taste that you have. Because again, those things aren't really important. What's important is, well, is my weight coming down? Yeah. Okay. Well, you need to, that's good. You know, and stay focused on that. So the happiness trap, and it does a much better job too of giving different examples of how to, you know, rewire your mind a little bit away from letting emotions dictate what you should do and more how the values and what you actually cherish dictating your actions and behavior. So it's like a psychology book. A couple other books I think are great. A Man's Search for Meaning, I think, is one of the books that's like, if you're a young man, you know, probably more in the 17, 18 range, because it's a little bit hard to grasp when you're younger. Or you're just getting to college, I strongly recommend this book. It goes a lot in hand with the teachings of the Bible, but it talks to it more on a practical human level, and it simplifies it down in a phenomenal way. So that book is just ridiculously powerful. And then one more book I find for myself that was really impactful was Musashi and the Book of Five Rings, and it's the full novel, not the like the short written portion of it. So it's like 1,000 pages, and it took me like a year or two to read because I was being slow about it, but I really enjoyed the read. And it's just cool to read about an ancient warrior, very similar wrestling lifestyle, and how he had ups and downs, you know. And this is one of the most famous warriors of all time, but he, you know, his dedication to his life and his mindset to try to find how could he be a better samurai and warrior through everything he does, right? And I think you can do the same thing and apply the same thing to wrestling, right? You know, he's Buddhist, so I don't necessarily agree with that portion of his life, but I think Christ is really what drives you and gives you fulfillment. But even then, you know, he used that as a way to make everything complete, and understanding that how you act in a classroom does participate to your wrestling room. How, you know, how dedicated you are to Christ and learning through him is going to translate action-wise to the wrestling room. It's not necessarily going to be that, like we said, like God comes down and is like, all right, I'm going to make your high crotch a little bit faster. Not really how it works, but he does give us tools and circumstances like that to better our lives. And I think Musashi was a warrior who did a really good job practically of showing how he did that. And of course, it's like a dramatization, and you know, I don't know if everything is 100% true, but it is a really cool read for a young warrior trying to strive to be that in that lifestyle.
Yeah, good. Yeah, those are excellent. So I've never read The Happiness Trap, so I wrote that down and make sure I get it. Yeah, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, is awesome.
Yeah,
I've only read the shortened version of Five Rings. I've never read the 1,000-page version, so maybe I need to put that on my list and go through. And
it's a slog, and it's definitely like there's like a romance novel to it, and I'm like, when can we get back to the sword fighting? You know, like I'm that kind of guy. But it's really it's really powerful, and it, you know, it takes that shortened book and it stretches out the imagery and the powerfulness of the moment of taking the actions that you really want to take, right? And I think it does. It tells stories that exemplify that behavior very well. So that's one of the reasons why I resonate with it, you know. And that's one of the things. Like, there's certain rituals he does that I understand they don't mean anything, but they do have meaning to me, right? So some of the things he did and the mindset he had with it, I try to do some of those things because I do think they matter, right? But they don't matter to everyone. And that's one of the things kind of the book goes over, which I think is really interesting, right? Like, if you folding your shirt before a match matters, you know, for whatever reason, you should do it. But if you don't think it matters, then don't do it. It's really what you find value in, execute that behavior, right? And the interesting part, you know, this podcast we've been on right now, or this episode, you know, the big question I think what everything, what comes up to people then is, what do I value?
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's really the hardest question to answer, because, you know, there's a million things you can value. And there's a lot of things people value in this society that I think are very empty on a certain level, right? Being wealthy just in itself, valuing that, I don't think is healthy. But understanding that God wants you to be a good provider and supporter of the community and the people around you, and having finances to do that, now you have value and meaning in something, right? And so I say that a lot, where what, you know, you need to find your values in life and then execute those. How do you find your values? I think that's when God and Jesus step into the picture, and he actually really teaches you what that should mean to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. All right, so this is going to kind of connect to that in a way. So not just value, but so one of the things, this is the question I ask everyone that comes on here, and I love hearing the answers because it's so unique to everyone. God's given us all different gifts and abilities, and, you know, part of our responsibility is, like you're doing with wrestling, is going in and perfecting those and utilizing those and then glorifying God through those. I'm going to call it your genius. So if you could narrow it down, what would you say is your genius?
Yeah, interesting, because it's not my genius, right? You know, I don't know. You know, I just don't really. I try not to look at myself as a genius like that, because that's just not, I don't know, that's not really who I am. And maybe that's one of the things where it's like, I'd say the one thing maybe that God's given me is, with a passion for the things I do, he's given me opportunity and ways to stay focused when most people start to drift away and lose focus, right? And not without my moments of lack of focus as well, right? But I believe he surrounded me with people and practices and mentorship and all those things that he provides. And it's given me just a way to really lock in on what he wills, and he gives me an opportunity to execute his will. And so I think the genius portion of it is staying so locked in and focused on what really matters, that I get an opportunity eventually to do it. It's just having that faith to stay locked in for that long, and being patient and waiting for that one moment when to go. And all it is maybe one moment, and in a sea of darkness and doubt and shame and fear, relying on Christ and knowing that there'll be just a split second where I get an opportunity to glorify him. Yeah. And then when it's there, you take advantage of
it. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Love it. Yeah. Again, so, so unique, man, when I get to hear people's, because God, he's imparted lots of gifts in people, right? And so whenever you can kind of discover that and then utilize that in your life, is it's a great thing. I guess it's kind of stepping into your purpose. So, all right, this next one, you can answer all three, expound upon them as much as you want, or just answer that. It's up to you, but call this the three H's. So tell me about a hero, hardship, or a highlight in your life, or a little of each. Hero, hardship, highlight.
Right. I mean, a hero of mine is a pretty standard one. It's my father. Just watching him, how hard and dedicated and disciplined he's been, but also enjoying what he's done throughout his life, is, it just sets a standard for me that I really want to achieve and live up to, you know, or at least attempt to do. You know, because I want to listen and obey my father and but also make him proud, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that happens. I think he loves me no matter what, or I believe he loves me no matter what, but he's been such a hero to me with just a standard of how I want to live my life from a practical example all throughout my life. So that's a hero. Hardship was a second one. There's been times in my life, especially, you know, prior to relying on Jesus, you know, where I took a lot of small details in my own life in my own hands and made my own selfish decisions. And, you know, I still, when I look back on it, it's not that I'm embarrassed anymore, but there's still feelings of, you know, shame where I just wish I would have gone to Christ sooner, because my behavior and the people around me that maybe were hurt, or the people that I feel like I let down, or, you know, whatever comes into your mind, you know, if I just had gone to Christ earlier, those issues I don't think would have been a problem. And so the hardship in my life really was just my life before I gave myself truly over to the Lord. And it just, when the point came, when I finally made the decision to do it, you know, I was really at a loss of just like, man, I can't, you know, in my head, it was like, I just can't do this without something else, because I am not strong enough right now. And I just finally started, you know, believing in God. All right. And I always believed, but truly giving myself over to Jesus and letting him dictate the value and the actions of my life. You know, that's whenever it was, I've got the support of the ultimate being on my side now. Now let's start trying to live life the right way. And it's paid off, I'd say. So it's really gone well. And what was the last
one is a highlight.
Highlight of my life. I mean, I'd say that's the highlight, right? Like the hardship went right into the highlight of, you know, and it wasn't like overnight, which I think is really awesome and loving of how he works. It wasn't like I went to church, up, saved, everything in life's easy, because it's not that way, right? The world's not the perfect world that he designed anymore. It's not until he returns, until we get that full scope of his design, right? So we have to go back into this broken world and live out the lifestyle and draw people into the gospel the way he commands us to do. And it's a daily grind that I love, because he loves us. And the highlight of just my journey of finally giving myself over to him and being committed to that process, you know, that has been the highlight of my life so far, for sure.
Awesome. That led me to thinking in wrestling terms, and this could apply to lots of things, but as athletes, a lot of times, and as coaches too, we get so focused on outcomes. And then we find value in our outcomes. And then if it's not what we wanted, and then all of a sudden, like, you're devalued and those type of things, you know?
Right.
Talk about, you know, cause you've been on this journey. Now you said you're 30 or about 30. So you've been on this journey for a while. And, you know, right now, I mean, you're our number one guy in the US, which is just incredible. For you, what's been the difference between like journey and outcome? So like whenever you won Final X and you became our number one guy, like, was that like just like the biggest moment in your wrestling career? Or do you look back and just be like, man, like, that was really cool, but like this whole journey means more, because it's hard when we have goals and we want to have that great outcome, right? Even as a coach, I want my athletes to do the best they can. But I know looking back, like when they come back and visit me, kids that win state for me, when they come back and visit me, like, they don't talk about winning state. They talk about like the overnight stays and that one really
right.
This, and they talk about those things. So
right.
A little bit about, from your perspective, like the journey versus outcome.
Right. And actually the Happiness Trap talks about that a little bit, that you can't put your values in just outcomes, because outcomes really aren't in our control. That's one of the issues with them. And so, yeah, the journey and the process has been, falling in love with that has been more valuable to me than actually winning. And obviously we want to win. That's one of the reasons why we go through the process. Winning Final X is at the moment the biggest step in my career. But I think, or I believe, and I look at it as, it's a step in my career, right? This is part of the progression tree of my career. And then the next step in the progression tree is the next practice to get better, right? And the next step right now is, you know, after this podcast, going and eating the right things tonight and getting rest and then recovering tomorrow, right? And always trying to just do things to the best of my ability and improve and execute. And there's a goal to achieve on the line of progression because you need something to actually strive towards. But if I don't achieve that goal, it's not devaluing my progression, right? Now, obviously, if you achieve the goal, you're much happier with your progress because you did the big moment. But I believe it's one of those things where, you know, when you accomplish that, it's just an indicator that you're on the right path. And if you don't accomplish your goal, you need to just make minor adjustments and then go back and try to accomplish that goal again, or whatever the next goal. Because sometimes it's, you know, you miss out on the four chances to win a state title, right? So it's like, okay, well, that's gone. I can't accomplish a state title straight up anymore. But if I want to be a wrestler, what is the next progression step in the logical progression chain, right? And everyone, I think, should have goals, and everyone should be focused on trying to conquer those goals and allow the process to dictate what is the next step in the process to conquer that goal. And again, very important that we do actually accomplish at some point or try to accomplish, but that's not really what gives us value. What gives us value is the process of trying to accomplish those goals, right? And giving the best effort and knowing that it's not going to be perfect along the way. And if you don't achieve it, that's not what makes you human, right? That's not what makes you valued. That's not what Christ cares about. What he cares about is, did you do everything in your power to accomplish that ridiculously hard task? Yes. Okay. Well, you glorified my name in that process because you did everything you could with the gifts and the time that's been granted to you through his grace to be the best version of yourself. And if it wasn't in his will for that to happen, then so be it. I'm completely content with that thought process of it didn't happen, but I gave everything I had, and, you know, it just wasn't in the way God wrote the story, you know. And that's okay. I'll still glorify his name. I'll still go to church and sing off key and, you know, do the best I can.
So good, man. So, so good the way you explain that, because it's a weird and it's a hard dichotomy. It's a weird dichotomy. Sometimes we put the outcome like really, really high in our minds, and sometimes
right.
The outcome doesn't matter at all. It's just the process. And like you said, like we want to accomplish those things. That's the goal, and having something really hard to strive for. But anyway, I don't want to repeat the whole way you said it, because you actually you explained that. You put that out there for us in a way that I think almost everybody, and personally, I'll go back and listen, and I suggest to those listening to the podcast, go back and listen and take some notes right there. If you're a coach, take some notes to be able to talk to your team about. If you're an athlete, take those things to heart. And if you're a Christ follower, know that like your value isn't in winning a state title or a national title or a world title. Your value is in Jesus.
Right. John 3:30, man. Are you valuing that state title? Or are you letting him increase and your wants decrease in that moment?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's right. Again, that's why I like that verse. It's simple, but you can use it in wrestling a lot. And like Jesus, man, he flipped the world completely on its head of how we looked at things. And if you do that and you believe, you'd be surprised that it actually functions exactly the way a wrestler should function as well, which it's crazy how perfect, you know, his love and his wisdom is for that.
Absolutely. So, well, Genesis 32, God's a wrestler, so he's all in his plan.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Zane, hey, this has been incredible. Thank you for taking the time to jump on and share your life with us a little bit. You're an inspiration. You're an inspiration to a lot of young wrestlers and athletes out there, a lot of us coaches out there as well. So any final words of parting advice, you know, knowing that coaches and wrestlers and athletes and really, man, just human beings are listening to this right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Find God, He's waiting for you. The door is open, and he's just waiting for you to open the door to let him into your heart. Give yourself to the Lord. It's not going to be an overnight process with everyone, but I encourage you to get into Scripture, and at least if you're someone who's a non-believer right now, at least be interested in Jesus and study him. You don't have to believe right away or anything like that. I'm not asking that at this point. I'm just asking you to be a little bit interested. You know, Kyle Snyder is an extremely devout Christian, and you might want to be a little interested if you know, someone like that is that convicted in his faith, right? And so I just, you know, for everyone's ache, you know, and for the love that God has given us, I really encourage, you know, just at least investigate our Lord and Savior. And, you know, and above that, or not above that, but along with that, you know, believe in your coaches, believe in your system, have faith. It doesn't matter. A lot of times I've seen really good wrestlers. It doesn't even matter if your coach is telling you the right thing. They can be saying the wrong thing, but I've seen so many careers go well because the kid is so believing in the process that, like we talked about, and that it'll work out if he just gives himself over to the system, right? And to the process. And so really believe. And, you know, if you find Christ, he'll show you what that actually means, right? You may think you know, but investigate our Lord and investigate Jesus, and he'll teach you what true belief really is.
Wonderfully said. Where can we find you? Where can we follow you? Because I want people to be able to follow your journey as you continue this on. So social media, a good place?
Yeah, social media, Instagram. I'm just Zane.Richards. Really, really cool handle there. and, you know, I have a Twitter, but I never get on that. Facebook and all that stuff. And, yeah, I mean, if you're a kid right now, or you're a coach or anything, you know, and you have a question, don't hesitate to DM me or whatever. I'm more than happy to try to help share the gospel and to, you know, for wrestling's sake too. You know, if there's questions or anything, I try to answer as many as I can on Instagram. You know, I may not get to it just because I'm not the most stringent social media guy, but you know, I'm more than happy to provide and help for the community, you know, because the community's given me a lot to get to this point as well.
All right, excellent. Well, again, Zane, thank you for being on, man. It's a blessing to have you on here and to be able to share this with you. We're cheering you on. So, you know, want to hopefully go and win, you know, win a world championship and even beyond, man. I know you got big dreams. So yeah. I know a lot of us all around the United States, man, we're cheering you on.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Chad. I appreciate the platform, and thank you for giving me a chance to, you know, talk about the gospel and wrestling. It's like my two favorite things. So.
Yeah, you bet. So, all right, everybody, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And I'm going to put Zane's Instagram handle in the show notes. So you can go on there, you can follow him. And like you said, reach out to him. And then take this episode and share it with somebody that needs inspiration, somebody that God puts on your heart. Send the link to them. And let's see if we can positively impact the world. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. You can do this by copying the link, share it on your social media, text it to someone, share by word of mouth. Also, give us a 5-star review on the platform that you listen to. All of these help grow the show, help spread the message, and our job and our goal is to be able to inspire as many people as possible and to add to their perspective. Thank you and many blessings.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the Spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.